Well, well, well. Some may call it Evan and Tiki. Others call it the Club Teak Teak podcast here live on WFN. It's Sean Morris, Tiki Barber, here on this Wednesday of All-Star Break Week. Teak, what's happening?
All's good, man. I got to tell you, when I first started hearing about Hard Knocks and what it was going to mean for the Giants, there were two thoughts. One, this could be really invasive, and it could get ugly, and people start complaining about, I don't know, whatever. And the other thing I said was, well, maybe you get to know the personalities of a lot of these guys who people pass judgments on. Now, I know that Moose just did basically 4 hours on get rid of the John Mara nonsense and narrative that he's involved and he's making all these decisions. And John's a great dude. And he's always been that way. And this narrative that he's like Jerry Jones is ridiculous. And I know you said that.
I have a narrative. Yeah, I did.
But I think you started to see it.
Yeah.
On because of Hard Knocks. The other thing that is most important to me and is, that I'm taking away from this is that this narrative that this is a make or break season for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, and it felt blown apart to pieces last night.
Blown apart. Clearly, they have a plan in place. Clearly, they know exactly what they're trying to do. And yeah, there's some twists and turns, the whole Saquon stuff, you know, getting the Brian Burns deal done with Dan Morgan down there in Carolina. Like, all of those things aren't perfect, but the way that they navigated it made me feel really good about our organization. It really did.
Yeah, so full disclosure, obviously we're going to talk about Devontae Adams and the Jets, some of the All-Star Game stuff, and I know not all of our audience has seen the episode of Hard Knocks that debuted last night on Max. We have several audio clips that we hope accompany some of these stories as we kind of talk Giants football here throughout the early portion of the show that we'll get to. I will start, Tiki, off of that by apologizing to John Mara.
Thank you.
Off of last week's episode, I really did feel like he was Jerry Jones. Now, I don't think John Mara is without flaws. I think he's a really good guy. I think he's a really good owner. But I still think there were moments last night where you saw how hard it is for him to let Joe Shane do his job. But he still, as we saw last night, did let Joe Shane do his job when it came to Saquon Barkley. So before we kind of go over what Joe Shane had to do and John Mara's feelings on this, let's just hear the debate between John Mara and Joe Shane before Saquon officially was no longer a Giant.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know if I'll make a couple of calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen, but
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philly. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being up. I've been around enough players, so, but he's the most popular player we have by far.
Okay. All right. Now,
what did you hear in that? Because I'll tell you what I heard, but what did you hear in that?
I heard an owner that felt like he was prioritizing his love and the popularity of a player in terms of jersey sales over what the general manager was trying to tell him, which was, hey, this is not in our best interest to build a winning football team.
Right. Marketing.
Marketing.
It felt like marketing as opposed to putting the right team together.
Yes.
And unfortunately, and it's not always the case. You've heard me say this for a year now if you're listening to me on The Fan. The salary cap is fungible. Right? You can mess with it. You can do whatever you want. But it does get prohibitive at times if you're overpaying for a position and you need to fill many other positions. And that's exactly where the Giants were. So the thing I heard was that they would love to have Saquon here. One, because he's their identity and he's the most popular player. But to me, that's marketing. That's not what do we need to do to get better. And they needed to address the offensive line. They needed to hit it right in the draft with wide receivers. They needed to give their new defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, what he wanted. Right? There was other things that they had to do. And while it would have been an amazing, soon to be in the Ring of Honor moment to have re-signed Saquon, the priority of the team as a whole mattered more. That's what I heard when I listened to John Mara and Joe Shane go, not really go at it, but discuss what was happening with the Saquon situation.
Which is why I think Hard Knocks has been riveting, insightful. I'm very thankful for it from a Giant fan point of view. I sit here today, Tiki, more comfortable than ever about the direction of the team, including stuff we'll get to later, teasing on forward. But it feels like Joe Shane was able to do his job. However, you still hear that with John Mara, and I know it's so revisionist history. I can only imagine what Dave Gettleman was sounding like with him, because I'm sure Dave Gettleman was more of a yes man. That's probably why the Giants are in this kind of problem.
Maybe.
And that's why I think what's being portrayed on TV to us, Tiki, is really difficult for John Mara. Like, he knows, hey, look, I gotta absolve myself from what's popular with this team and do this. And he's allowing Joe Shane to operate. But that part of it is still so scary because it reminds me of how the Giants have gotten here, those Gettleman dark years. If the cameras are running then, what would we have seen, TV?
Right. No, well, I think you would have seen a lot less collaboration.
Definitely.
I think that's what, you know, I took away from it as well. And I guess I knew this with Brandon, the assistant GM, right, and Timmy McDonald, who was in there, and Ed Triggs. Like, I felt like I knew that happened, but maybe they were doing it for the show. But I actually kind of feel like that's how their working relationship is. Everybody has a voice. Like, everybody has a say, or everybody has a role. And this just solidifies to me that the Giants are in good hands, first of all. But two, Hard Knocks needs to never do training camp again.
Oh, and only do the offseason?
only do the offseason. Only do the offseason and only do in season. Like, do something that's real. Like, reacting to what actually, you're not manufacturing a storyline. Hey, Sean Morass is trying out for the Giants. He has Little Sisters of the Poor. And look, he got an invite because he knows somebody, and he may make the team. He's got two kids, and they're excited for him. But
it's always the long-haired blonde guy trying to make special teams. Right.
Bring your playbook and come see the coach. That's so played out and stupid. I think the reality of operating an NFL business is awesome to see.
No doubt about it. And we're going to play more clips but that. But just more on the Mara stuff. I keep saying the only thing. But Mara, to me, comes across, and it doesn't mean he's not a good guy, not a good owner. He comes across like the father-in-law or the brother of a bride on a bachelor party in these meetings. Where Joe Shane is with his whole staff, they're trying to work, and every time he walks in the room, it's like, okay, we got to convince him.
He's
we're up
the
to
owner,
no good.
Man.
I know that, but Tiki, that's the best way I could collaborate. It's like, you know, put down the lines of cocaine here. Here comes John Mara. We got to just explain to him what we're doing in a nice way. But I think that Mara, this is why the Saquon thing needs to pay off. And Mara needs to exit. If Saquon has a great year at Philadelphia and they go win a Super Bowl, worst case scenario, that was not going to be the Giants with Saquon Barkley this year. And he needs to forget that. But ultimately, the long-term plan almost has to work now as long as John Mara is the owner. Because you don't want John Mara ever playing the what-if game back. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to see Joe Shane's plan now actually work, because I do fear if this did reverse, and I do feel great about the future, I fear the worst about what, you know, what happened in a post-Joe Shane era now with John Mara, where he second guesses the allowing of moves like this.
I don't think you can do that. I mean, that's just it's defeatist. It's like, it's loser mentality.
I have a loser mentality.
If something goes wrong, let's go reevaluate every, you know, of the last 10 decisions and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that Joe Shane handled it about as good as he could.
Yeah.
About as well as he could, I should say. I don't know if Saquon's agent was straightforward. You know, I have no idea.
Well, like, hold on with that, Tiki. So for the audience to hear, we have Joe Shane talking to Saquon's agent, and we'll discuss more of that.
Good day for you. Good day to be Ed Berry.
Oh, what's my man going to get?
North of what you said?
12.5 APY, 25 guaranteed.
North of that?
Again, we're not gonna go there. We're out.
Is it in the division?
I'm trying to prepare myself mentally for what's gonna happen. I mean, that's all.
So look, we know that what Saquon's number was, what they wanted, Saquon's camp, what they wanted to get, and I know the narrative now is the Giants never made an offer. And then so people get twisted about that.
Right.
But
you saw last night.
Yeah.
In the most literal sense, yes, the Giants didn't technically make an offer.
Exactly.
But you want to talk about stretching the truth beyond anything.
That is such a twisting of what actually went on.
Right.
Of course they didn't make an offer because they weren't going to accept the offer.
Of course. Right. So that, and that's where we might as well get this out now, Tiki. Because it almost feels like closure on Saquon Barkley Day in many ways.
It does.
It feels like the Giants have turned the page officially with their fans. We got to see, which would not have happened in any other offseason, the actual closure on the Saquon Barkley. We got it on TV last night. Saquon Barkley, we take you back to when he left in March and the whole you're dead to me thing and this, that, and the other, okay? He put out on Twitter, in a defense to Giant fans, you know, the Giants never made me an offer. And he tried to make the Giants look bad.
Right.
And basically twisted it in a way that he wanted to be a Giant for life and the Giants never made him an offer. What you see last night is, yes, and heard just now in that clip, the Giants didn't technically make him that offer. But they also didn't make him the offer because they wanted him to see the market because they were doing right by him, not wrong by him. I do have a major issue with the way Saquon Barkley handled the aftermath of leaving the Giants. Just be, to quote the kids, just be real, dog.
Well,
wanted the money, you wanted the bag, got it, and nobody faulted
you
for
that.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
He wanted to go get paid, and he went and got paid. The Giants simply were not in a position because they're not an established team. The Philadelphia Eagles are an established team. The other teams that maybe were in this conversation that backed out of it, Chicago was one that we heard. The Houston Texans were one that we heard as well. What's common with the Giants? They're not an established team yet. Maybe Houston is more along the line, but that may have been just some first year head coach, you know, first year quarterback, you know, favorable schedule because of how bad they were a year ago.
What's that telling? The Giants going after Darren Waller a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, The Texans, the Bears, the Giants, they weren't in a position to overpay for the luxury because their teams aren't set yet. Who is?
Right.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
Who are a piece or two away from being right back in the Super Bowl, at least in their estimations. And I give Howie Roseman a ton of credit for the team, for the job that he's done over the last couple of years. But because they're in that situation, they can afford to potentially, I'm using potentially because I don't know, overpay for a running back. The Giants aren't in a position to overpay for a position like running back when they have so many other holes that they had to fill.
Same reason it didn't work out with Christian McCaffrey in Carolina, and guess where it will work out and has worked out? San Francisco,
because
they built enough of a team to get that. What did you have, Tom?
So off the clip we just played where Shane gets the text message that says Philly's out, to use Sean's analogy, to play off that analogy, they're at a bachelor party. The old man's in the room. The strippers are on their way. Do you think Shane just made that up, that he got that? Because it was clearly wrong information. All right, let's just appease Mara and get him out of here.
No, I think there's just a lot of smoke around free agency. It's a lot of nonsense. It's a lot of people lying to one another, just trying to gain position. And I think what's interesting is that when you saw, because they quickly pivoted off of Saquon. They're like, all right, now we have... There's still a lot of stuff we got to do.
Right. And they get into that.
Don't get it twisted that this is only about Saquon Barkley. There's a lot that they had to do. So they quickly pivoted, and I thought they did a good job of it because I think that's actually how it happened to Brian Burns and getting that deal done. What you saw with the Brian Burns situation is that Dan Morgan, who I think Joe Shane had worked with before.
Yes, or had, the daughters are best friends.
Right. You saw what a relationship can do.
Right.
And while that negotiation was hard because they had been talking about it for months, the behind the scene relationship business in the NFL is something we don't ever think about. We don't. Hey, was this guy here?
Right.
Was he an assistant when this guy was assistant GM? And there's relationships.
It can help you get wins too. Joe Shane won that Brian Burns negotiation.
100%.
Dave Gettleman loses all those negotiations, which is another reason you guys should all feel really, really positive about where the Giants are. So ultimately, theme of the show to start, John Mara is allowing Joe Shane to do his job, even if he's kind of hanging over there. But he's the owner, and he's entitled to do that. And we have a official closure to Saquon Barkley, and the Giants now can move forward, and we will get to more clips throughout. What else you got?
One quick other thing here, this is for Teak here, and it's from the silly department. So early in the episode, Joe Shane is hanging out with his staff in his office. John Mara shows up. What did John Mara do?
What do you mean?
He knocked on the door.
Yeah,
he owns the team. Yeah. He doesn't have to knock.
Another reason the Giants are in good hands. I mean, he had the respect to knock.
My mom still didn't knock on my door when I lived at home, and I was like 27 years old.
What if you're a butt in your pants trying to redo them?
Tommy, you went to college.
Yeah.
Right? You're in college and your door is shut.
Yeah.
Like, what do? You knock on the door.
But Joe Shane, what's he playing Uno in there with his wife? I mean, do we have to knock?
What he's doing.
Come on.
Of course he has to knock.
14 hours.
He's being respectful for his new general manager. He could be in some deep conversation with Saquon or whoever, and he didn't want to be interruptive. So, look, give him some credit. Yeah.
One more I had a little bit of an issue with before we take your calls on if you are positive or negative about the direction of the New York Giants after watching last night's episode, 888-808-1019. I did have a little bit of a gripe with John Mara calling Saquon Barkley the most popular Giants player by far.
Hmm.
I thought that was unintentionally a slight at other guys like Dexter Lawrence, who the fan base has gravitated to. And I do think as much as jersey sales are there, remember the position he plays. I know that we all argue about Daniel Jones from Eater Kingdom Cup, so I'm not even putting him in this. From the moment he was drafted, Saquon Barkley, not to his own doing, has caused a major division and fracture in the Giants fan base because of the resource used and everything. Doesn't mean we all didn't root because we root for whoever's wearing a Giant uniform.
Yeah.
But I have a tough time calling Saquon Barkley the most popular player by far when half the fan base basically has hated the idea that he's on the team for 6 years.
Because he was drafted so high.
Yes.
And what people would
think. So what deems popularity? Well, just jersey sales?
No, I think it's more...
He was not universally loved.
I don't disagree with that, but I think it's more like Q score. Like if you were asking the lay fan in Iowa or Minnesota or wherever, name a Giant.
Yeah.
The one that they would name would be Saquon Barkley.
Right, but doesn't fantasy football and all that other stuff play into that?
That's the point.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like Saquon Barkley was rookie of the year. He's a freak physically. He's got home run ability. And so when John Mara is talking about most popular, he's talking about most known, right? Most identifiable with the Giants team. And losing that sucks, especially to a rival. And it's why, you know, we all got emotional about it when free agency happened back in March. And he, you know, 30 seconds into it, he's signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. So right, that's more of what I think John was getting at. Not necessarily we need him because our fan base is going to revolt if Saquon Barkley's not here.
Because I think it felt leaning towards the majority of people that said, yeah, please let Saquon go. Let's build this team the right way and keep extinguishing. And more and more feel that way. And we've talked about this
with
Daniel
Jones. And I think that's what we see. We see that they have the competency. It's like extreme competency to build a good team and put a good roster together for Dabes and now Shane Waldron as a defensive coordinator. I really enjoyed watching how they work together. I really did. I know those guys, and I don't even know if I know how detailed it is. You know what I mean?
It was incredible, and they might have pulled a little robbery on the Jets. More on that in a little bit. 888-808-1019. Mark in Westchester starts us off on Evan and Tiki. Mark, what's up, man?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Listen, I haven't watched the show yet, Hard Knocks, but I listened to the radio station, so I've heard a couple of the clips, and the original call that Shane had with Saquon, he basically told him, go test the market, and he asked him for a shot to come back and make an offer.
Yeah.
So then he goes and tests the market. He gets an offer. He gets $26 million guaranteed. His agent gives him a number, and the Giants didn't make him an offer. So why is that playing a game? Like, if he wanted to be a Giant and they offered him $20 million, maybe he stays.
Well, more no. I think you have to think about the first call that he had with Saquon's agent, where he asked him if we come to $12.5 million AAV, $26 million guaranteed, 3 year deal. Will Saquon be a Giant? Like, can you guarantee that that's going to get him here? And the answer was kind of hemming and hawing,
right? And that's what Mark didn't hear because he hasn't seen the show.
Right. So there's another side of this where it felt like Saquon went and tested the market. Now the agent's going to play whatever he tested in the market against the Giants.
Right.
As opposed to giving him a number.
And in the prior two episodes, Mark, and for anybody who hasn't seen the show, there is a theme that built up to this episode involving the Saquon Barkley negotiations, and Joe Shane discusses how last year, how stressful it was with the franchise tag, and we don't really know exactly what went on there, and he mentions a couple times now through three episodes and puts in quotations, which is important, the hand quotes he puts up, we don't want to disrespect him, which tells me he was told to Joe Shane or Mara, whoever else in the Giants, that Saquon felt disrespected by an offer that had close to $25 million guaranteed a year ago. So for everybody that would say, well, the Giants never made Saquon an offer. No, 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 they did. And it felt disrespectful to Saquon. So rather than go through that and have him, have Saquon and his agent drag the Giants that they're disrespectful,
right,
they didn't technically make him an offer before seeing what he had. So that's why it is a big time stretching of the truth by Saquon and his agent that the Giants never made him an offer.
And I just think the overall theme, and I think we're all watching it play out here, is John Mara wanted to keep Saquon Barkley for the business reasons. But to be fair, Saquon was their best offensive player, so it backs up both ways. And Shane and Dable were ready to move on. They wanted Motor here. They're comfortable with him. He played in Buffalo. They even ranked him above DeAndre Swift, which maybe is a conversation for another day based on how Singletary does here. But they wanted their guy. They wanted Motor. They were done with Saquon. And I think they were just doing the song and dance to appease the owner of the team who desperately wanted to keep his most popular player that, like he said.
888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your calls on the direction of the Giants, Saquon Barkley, and even a little look ahead. Did the Giants get the better of the Jets in free agency? Something we didn't see coming last night, you Jet fans. It's Sean and Tiki on Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan. Sean, Tiki, Lukey, Connor along the way here. 888-808-1019. If you come off last night's episode of Hard Knocks, anti-John Mara as some kind of looming cloud, as I've seen plenty in the Giants social media world react to, I have another spin and take for you, and this is the best way to put it into perspective. He let Joe Shane make the move for Saquon Barkley, but you know what else? You see how badly he wanted to keep a popular player? If John Mara was the owner of the New York Yankees in an unsalary cap league, do we think he would let Juan Soto walk away and go to the New York Mets? He literally said he couldn't sleep at night if Saquon Barkley went to the Eagles in a capped league.
I know.
So if you're anti-John Mara, just put it that way. We know without a doubt, if John Mara owned the Yankees, the Mets would already be out on Juan Soto. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Met fan Lukey, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong on that one.
Look at that. I even got the power of positivity to bite the bullet.
You get the guy from the other side agreeing with you.
So consensus. Thank you, John Mara. And if you would like to buy the New York. No, I'm just kidding. Al, just keep solid, please. 888-808-1019. I will continue to take your calls on this, and I want to get into the Jets and get the guard you wanted.
I don't think I knew that.
I didn't either. You know what? Let's get to it right before we continue your calls. So the other cool part, once we've now turned the page on Saquon, again, you guys can continue to call on it, was we see the Giants free agency play, which is, I'm sure we didn't see everything, but pretty unreal footage of this is who the Giants are targeting. Here's their whiteboard.
Yeah.
Here's their top targets. Here's what we think they'll be valued at. Like, there was no holding back on what the Giants' plans were in free agency.
No, we basically, I mean, short of actually seeing the board.
Right.
Which was blurred out. I was like, wait, can I see that? Can I pause this and look and see who they were targeting? But I don't think I knew that the Jets were also trying to sign John Runyon.
Right. And remember, the Jets end up with John Simpson at guard after this. But here, if you don't know what we're talking about, Jet fans and Giant fans alike, we all know the Giants signed John Runyon Jr., but there is a moment in the beginning of free agency where it appears John Runyon Jr. is going to the Jets, and the reason he's going to the Jets, I don't hear the names Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas anywhere. Let's listen to this clip.
Runyon has 9 a year, 17 guaranteed from the Jets.
The Jets aren't bluffing. They're offering Runyon $9 million a year for 2 years with $17 million guaranteed.
Drew said you're going to have to beat it because of the Rodgers-Hackett connection.
Does that get it done?
I don't know.
Wow. So it did get it done. They went 3 years, that same $17 million guaranteed, but more overall money. The guarantee stayed the same. They gave him an extra year more money. But you heard it right there. The Rodgers-Hackett connection almost brought John Runyon Jr. to the Jets.
But
the Giants stole his ass.
What's just funny is that we didn't hear about that.
No, not at all.
This is the first. I mean, it makes sense, obviously, because John Runyon Jr. been a staple at left guard for the Packers and
left and right guard versatility.
But he just plays
right.
Like, he's never hurt. He's always available. He's always out there. And you know, it makes sense that the Jets, who are also trying to upgrade their offensive line, are going to go with someone who's comfortable,
right?
Or at least Aaron Rodgers is comfortable with, or has a familiarity with, and has a understanding of the system that Nate Hackett's
going to run. And knows he can trust him. And Runyon doesn't miss games. Has played in every game for the past couple
of
years.
And so the Giants quietly just come and snatch him away. Now,
tells you money talks.
It does tell you money talks, but it also tells you that this kid is probably pretty good. I think that's the bigger side of this. Is that, I mean, if you follow football, I guess you know how good John Runyon is, Junior is. But if you don't, you're just like, it's just a free agent guy. They're a free agent that we signed from the Packers.
And tell me, I guess he was at right guard last year and struggled. He's a better left guard than he is a right guard. But you know what? This really helped big time with me, Teak. The amateur arguments that me, Tommy, or any of us little petty fans get to with Jet fans. What did you guys do this offseason? What did you do this offseason?
We got your guy.
Well, you can't tell me the Giants did nothing this offseason. If your organization, you're praising, wanted this guy desperately, and we snatched.
Well, I think the other thing that comes off of that, in addition to that, is that they had to upgrade the offensive line.
Oh, no doubt.
And with Illuminor coming in, and even as a backup, Aaron Stinney, who was in Tampa last year.
Hold that thought. I'm going to give you a hold on real quick. Not for any more audio. Just this we didn't pull. The Giants had three offensive linemen they really wanted. Illuminor, Runyon, the other was Robert Hunt, who ended up getting a $100 million deal elsewhere.
Right.
But continue on. It's worth noting because the Giants ended up getting two of the three guys they highly coveted in offensive line.
And then obviously got some guys who have some experience. Right. Slotman, who was a center. Right. They have depth now.
Right.
Playable depth now.
Playable depth is a good
which
term.
Is different because they had depth last year, but they were some young players, the two kids from Carolina we keep talking about. I don't know where they're going to fall on the depth chart now, but it's likely down unless they work their way, you know, back up.
McKeithen and Azudu,
right. But the point is, the Giants have depth now, so they can sustain, hopefully, if some injury should happen, whereas in previous years, as soon as one or multiple guys got hurt, it felt like it was a lost cause.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the offensive line is not perfect. It's not great. And what do we all talk about all the time with offensive lines? And you know this, playing behind an offensive line as long as you did. Gelling, the chemistry, all of that.
Right.
The Giants just need some foundational pieces here where they can gel as a unit. It's not just about this year. It's about the years going forward to continue on and so forth. And we're going to get to, there's a point about Jermaine Illuminor I want to make in a little bit, but that I think has more long-lasting legs. Something else happened with this. But let's start your question. There's plenty to digest. And I also want to thank the Giants and thank Hard Knocks, because here we are on Wednesday of All-Star Week.
I know.
And we got plenty to chew on.
And we're talking about football.
Of course.
Which I love.
And Jet fans, don't worry, we're going to get to more of the Devontae Adams.
Right. I didn't think that free agency, honestly, was this exciting. I never did.
No, like Hard Knocks made it.
The first day of free agency is exciting.
Yes.
That's the only thing I think we've ever talked about in previous years.
Right.
Oh my God, this guy went here, this guy went there, this guy went blah, blah, blah.
But now you see what these rooms look like throughout the league. It's crazy.
I know it.
And I know as a Giant fan, Sean, I know you felt that way. Tiki felt that way. At the end of the episode when all the free agents came to the facility, dude, I was fired up.
And they're doing the social media. Well, I'm here, let's go Big Blue.
We got Drew and Natalie Locke. We got Spider-Man. We got the clock from Beauty and the Beast, Illuminier. We got, who else did we get? Motor. I'm like, dude, we got like a whole, all the shtick here.
Devin Singletary also just gave you a Go Blue, not a Go Big Blue. He's got to work.
Oh, and who was the person in the room that said F the Eagles? We have to find out who said that.
No, it was somebody for the Giants.
That's what I mean. We have to find out who said that.
I don't want to miss.
Yeah, and give him like a trophy?
Yes.
I thought it was the guy Rossetti, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I don't know. I just want to find out whoever that is, amazing.
Yeah,
and now, they should have said it on the video.
Drew Lock should have said that. 888-808-1019. Mario in Long Beach. Mario, what's up?
What's up, Mario?
What's going on, guys? Good show as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? I really think, I know you were talking about the Tiki earlier about you can always fudge up the
salary cap.
Now, I was looking at the numbers. They paid Saquon $10.1 million the year before.
All right, that was the franchise tag.
Yeah, he wound up getting 13.5, I think, on the for the Eagles contract, right?
It's 12 point something. It's close to 13, yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, it's close to 13.
And can escalate to 15.
Yeah, and it can escalate much higher with some incentives and other things.
Yeah, and I think 26 was guaranteed.
That's correct. So basically, 2 years. If you look at the guarantee, this is an easy way to do it. Look at the guarantee. Look at what you think the average AAV is, and 26, half of that is 13. That's right. Basically 2 years that are guaranteed.
Yeah, perfect. So like, that shows like two thirds of the whole
right, exactly
the
right.
contract is guaranteed.
That's right.
So basically, you look at it, and he was by far their best offensive player. Yeah, I think we agree with that.
No, not even close. Not even close.
Skill player.
Right, skill player.
Yeah, Andrew Thomas was their better offensive player.
Yeah, skill player. Because he's the only one that could go to the house. Like, he was the only one that could, like, demoralize a defense by, you know, taking a handoff and going 60 yards.
Correct.
They just didn't have a ton of those guys. Now they seemingly do, especially if they can start pushing the ball downfield to Hyatt and Malik Nabers.
Yeah, so I think that, based on that, you throw out of the window. I know we always say running backs don't get paid. They could have kept him for another $3 million. And the way they fudged the cap, they could have still signed
Yeah, they could have. But they could have, you know, Mario, and I don't want to disagree with you, but in order to have done that and to fudge the cap as I'm talking about, you got to add years. And the last thing the Giants wanted to do was tie themselves for 4 years or 5 years to Saquon. And I'm not saying that as a knock to Saquon.
It's not.
But tell me a running back that has a huge six-year deal anymore. It's just not going to happen. Jonathan Taylor, who is young, going into his third year, fourth year, whatever it is, he's still young.
Fourth, I believe.
Fourth year in the NFL, signed an extension. It was 3 years.
Right.
This is Jonathan Taylor. He's $14 million. It's 3 years. That's it. That's all you're going to get as a running back. So to fudge it, you got to go deeper. And I don't think the Giants are willing to do that.
And let's also not be short-sighted about this. You've talked about it. We've talked about it. Saquon Barkley misses way too many games to be giving a running back that much guaranteed money over the next couple of years. Now, the Eagles want to take that chance, like you said. They're further
because they can.
Because they can. The Giants cannot, under their salary cap, look at it. They lost to Rod Taylor, as we found out in free agency, based on $1 million more because they needed it for Jermaine Illuminor.
Right.
They weren't getting both Runyon and Illuminor if they signed Saquon. They needed an offensive line in front of them. And if you're going to allocate that much salary cap space on an average annual value, the guy better play. The guy better be putting casts on his arms like Tiki freaking Barber did during my heyday of being young watching the Giants. And unfortunately, Saquon just battled way too many injuries to be making that kind of money on this kind of team.
Those kind of guarantees.
Right.
Those kind of guarantees. That's what it comes down to, I think, ultimately. Would the Giants have done it where it's a 1 year and, you know, let's see, but you still have, you know, a contract, but it's 1 year every year and we can evaluate you that way? Sure. But that's not what Saquon was looking for.
And nor should he.
Of course not.
Nor should he.
Go get paid, dude.
That's the part of this. I don't think if Saquon Barkley came out from the beginning and said, hey, look, as you can see by my position, we have to take our paydays. Every Giant fan in the world would have respected it and thanked Saquon.
Right.
It was the idea after of, I wanted to be a Giant for life. They didn't offer me money. And then you see it play out like this, and you realize it was kind of a toolish answer by him. Mike in Jersey. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great show. Just wanted to call on this on the Hard Knocks stuff. So, you know, Joe Shane said, you know, I offered him a ton of money. He didn't want it. So kind of last year, we knew where this was going. Like we knew he wasn't coming back for the reasons you mentioned. He's injury prone. They're not really ready to win. He is a player that he deserves to be somewhere where he can win. I think. I mean, he is a great player, but at the end of the day, you have an asset. It's a business, right? All the players will say it's a business. We understand. And I know Tiki a while back said you can't trade him. You can kill the locker room.
Yeah,
but you have to. You have the ability to trade a player to deadline, get something in return, and dictate, you know, where he goes and where he would potentially resign if they were trading for that asset, right?
No, you're right. So you're not wrong. Yeah, the way it played out, Mike, you nailed it on the head. The way it played out, it sucks that the Giants didn't trade him because at the very least, you would have gotten him away from the Eagles. You would have gotten him.
Interesting.
You would have he wouldn't be in the division. Now, could the Eagles have, like, got him from the Houston Texans, they had a good running back in Motor down there and Devin Singletary, who really came on at the end of the last year. But let's just say the Chargers,
right?
Because Austin Ekeler was battling.
It would have had to be a team that was in contention.
So could the Eagles have gone and got him from the Chargers after the Giants had traded him to the Chargers in the offseason like they just did? Sure. But I mean, I'm not positive on this, but I feel like Howie Roseman did this specifically and because it screws the Giants.
Interesting.
It, like, specifically makes, and you've heard this from their head coach, who says, you know,
you know, jerkishly, we'll see how it is. We got your best player now, right, type of thing. So if
he could have had any running back, right, could have went after Derrick Henry.
If he wasn't a Giant at the end of last year, the Giants had traded him because the season wasn't going anywhere. They got some value for him. They sent him out to the Chargers, and he had a really good season. Do I think the Eagles signed him? I don't know. Maybe, but I doubt it. I think the Eagles did it because they wanted to screw the Giants. And by the way, it's why it sucks for us, because he's right down the road, and we have to play him twice, and he's not. People want to say he's washed. He's not. He's injury prone.
Right.
He's not washed. He's a damn good running back.
Yeah. And
so that's what hurts us.
Tiki Barber, you've come a long way. First of all, I remember Tiki Barber arguing vehemently with Evan and slightly me about you can't trade Saquon, and now you think
I'm only saying in retrospect.
In retrospect,
because he's an Eagle.
Right, but this was always the fear that he could go sign anywhere.
Yeah,
and this is also the problem. And I'm going to keep coming back to this with Saquon tweeted out, the Giants did right by him by not trading him.
You're right.
They could have traded him to another organization who at the end of the year, they decide to place the franchise tag on him. They could have done that. The Giants did everything right by him. He went to the Eagles, took his guaranteed money. And
I'll still defend not trading him, because the Giants won some games and could have won two or three. We've talked about this multiple times, Sean. Three or so more. If certain things just kind of go a little bit more their way.
Or if they don't hand a kicker Tiki Barber's number, and this is a kick versus the Rams.
Right, exactly.
That's another win. Right.
And so,
or if Saquon gets 1 yard versus the Jets, that's a win.
The only thing that the biggest thing I think Saquon helped do last year for the Giants was that it kept them fighting. Because if you trade Saquon, you win four games.
Yeah, and Tommy DeVito has said on record that Saquon was his best teammate, his best 100%. Cheerleader, supporting him,
and
everything.
So you couldn't get rid of that out of the locker room in the middle of the season.
Whew.
I stand by what I say, but because of what happened, and he's now an Eagle. In retrospect, it probably would have been better.
I said this at the time, and I think Evan mocked me, but I think it's worth revisiting now off Tiki's comments and everything. John Mara saying he wouldn't be able to sleep last night. I understand the emotional reaction, but actually, let's all think about this deeply. In a salary cap sport, where for the most part, Tiki, there's no disrespect, you've seen the evolution of the position.
Right.
Paying guys at 27 who have missed a lot of games with injuries is a bad practice of money.
Yeah.
And I understand the Eagles are in a different
position.
Unless
you can afford to do it.
And I understand the Eagles can afford to do it. But the reason I say I'm okay with him going to the Eagles in the end is, if I think there's a good chance Saquon continues to miss games and ages poorly, why wouldn't I want my division rival having to deal with that?
I see how you're twisting it, yeah.
And I said that at the time, and everyone went nuts. And, Lugie, now you're looking at me. I think I'm right now watching this.
Absolutely. And the guy that wasn't really featured much last night, also on the Eagles, what are the two most devalued positions? Running back and safety.
Safety, yeah.
And where did the Giants not put their money? Safety and running back, and the Eagles did. Nothing against Saquon, but good luck.
Also, the Giants obviously had creative control, editorial control. Anyone else find it odd how little about Xavier McKinney's departure we got?
Yeah.
I wonder if anything ugly happened. Right? We had that one phone call. Okay, he's getting that kind of money. But there was nothing.
Xavier was tweeting a lot. So maybe there's a lot there.
That was the other part of it. He tweeted through his feelings through everything. And it almost feels like we are being kept from something with the McKinney negotiation.
But what could it have been? Because I don't feel like it was. His tenure here wasn't controversial.
Well, slightly. He had the ATV accident.
That was just a stupid act.
He was the one in the middle of the Wink versus Dable stuff last year where, it was about him and...
People assume that McKinney, I think, said something to, a source because the dots, connected.
Right,
got it.
Back to him, not being benched or whatever. He had done something and called out somebody in the media. I forgot all the stuff with McKinney, but it felt like, and then he was tweeting a lot, it felt like maybe they had some ugly stuff to say off camera. That's all I'm guessing.
Yeah,
because why wouldn't you want that out there?
I don't know. It's interesting, but I didn't even think about that.
Oh, I did. And I got I got another major omission I'm going to hit you with next hour, too. 888-808-1019. Brian and Chatham. Brian, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great show. After watching the Hard Knocks episode last night, I have no way of proving this, but what it seems to me was Joe Shane had very little interest in bringing Barkley back. but it was very clear to him.
Well, it had to be the right price, I think, right. for Joe.
Yeah, my guess is, Brian, that he told John Mara he understood the importance of that and that he would try to make it work up where it was in both of those terms. But you're right. You know, yeah.
There was clearly a drop dead. He said this about, what was it? He said it about somebody, a drop dead number. Was it Illuminor?
It might have been.
I think he had that for all of the guys that they were targeting, including their current free agents.
I think it was a little bit different with Saquon. When you look at the tactics were, hey, we're not going to franchise him. Let him go test the market. I think privately, Joe Shane was hoping the market was not at a level that the Giants could theoretically get to based on the last offer they made.
And ultimately,
ready to move on.
Yeah, and ultimately, that's what happened. I mean, it was clearly like some frustration on Joe Shane's side because look, I don't know specifically what the deal that they offered him a year ago was. But I feel like it was close to what he got.
A little less, but yeah, there were numbers out there in the 25 mil guaranteed range.
Yeah, 12 or so million guaranteed per year. I'm sure there was. He's just ready to be done with it.
And
there's
so many holes to build a team and how much emotional exhaustion has gone into the Saquon Barkley stuff the last 2 years. And that's why today, I really think as a Giant fan, is finally closure for the fan base. It felt like closure.
It did.
And it felt like Joe Shane now could finally, even though it's the third offseason, it feels like the first offseason where Joe Shane's whole roster now, outside of Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence, and Andrew Thomas, is a Joe Shane roster.
Yeah.
Which is a huge step forward. We're finally cleansing ourselves.
Well, that's what you want. It's what you want. I mean, you want to build it. You want to be evaluated on what you built.
Right.
Not what someone else has built. Not that you're on the hot seat. And, you know, again, I said this at the beginning. This is my biggest takeaway from all this. The Giants and Joe Shane and Dabes, they are not on any hot seat. I know people keep wanting to find ways to put them there. They are not.
Yeah, Saquon could go be offensive player of the year. I don't think that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are getting canned for that.
No.
I really don't. You're rolling your eye. You disagree?
Well, because it's a teaser because we haven't gotten to it yet, but it's clear that Brian Daboll is not thrilled with the quarterback room. That's fair to say.
We're going to play that next hour. Yeah.
So they may not be on the hot seat now, but if that quarterback room doesn't get better, you could tell they could feel it, that their quarterback room. Yeah, we'll get to it.
I mean, look, they tried. And look, we'll get to it, but they tried.
They tried. See, look at us teasing. We're teasing that. Let's say Colin and Wyckoff. Colin, what's up?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. How are we doing?
Good, man. What's up, dude?
Not much. I'm going to talk two things. Number one, I want to say it's over. It's hindsight. Best of luck, Saquon. There was a guy, DeMarco Murray, left Dallas to Philly in his prime, too.
Right.
Was nothing but the best.
Great point.
Number two, gentlemen, nothing was said negative. You wish him well. My question is, I'm a big Daboll fan. I'm not a Giant fan. I love the way the man gets in your face and holds you accountable. You're getting paid. Do your darn job. Number two, the defense, I hope, adjusts because they had a good defense under Wink Martindale. Wink Martindale wasn't a coach. He had to learn that. And unfortunately, they parted ways. But I like the Giants' defense. Now, if you give Daniel Jones protection, I think you're going to see a very positive year with him this year.
Well, I mean, that's the reality. Yeah, that's
about the health.
That's the hope. It's really about the hope. And look, they're riding with him. It's Daniel Jones, and maybe they thought about some other, you know, avenues to go down in. But they're riding with Daniel Jones. And trust me, Daniel Jones is working his ass off.
Yeah.
You know that. He's always been that way.
And Daniel Jones this year, remember, Tiki, it's not just about playing to stay with the Giants. Whatever the Giants decide to do, make up their mind, Daniel Jones got to be playing for his NFL career.
Of course.
As a starter.
Like, if he has another injury-filled season, he's not going anywhere to be a starter.
Of course.
So
if he has a good year and the Giants want to move on, he's playing to be a starter in this league.
That's right. So there's a lot at stake for Daniel Jones. He knows that. So, I mean, we barely even need to talk about it. But I think one of the things he said about this, obviously moving on, getting the offensive line, but the defense, this is where it's interesting, uncertain, but exciting as hell.
Yeah, and I have some thoughts on Shane Bowen as well. We got plenty still to get into for 37 minutes of TV, Tiki. That's all that Hard Knocks episode was.
I know.
So much more to digest. We'll continue to take your calls on Saquon. Giant fans, are you pumped up about the direction of the team? Jet fans, are you a little unhappy the Giants swooped in and took your big offensive line ad from the offseason? I don't know.
You better be great. That's what I'm saying. We stole it from the Jets. You better be great.
888-808-1019. More when we come back.